You're listening to a Day1.fm show.
Pick My Brain is the podcast where founders pitch me their startup and I try to give them some useful advice so they can connect better with potential co-founders, investors, media, and of course, customers. My name's Alan Jones and I was a founder myself for about 15 years, and after that an angel investor for another 15 years, so yeah, old. Some of my ventures have been successful and some failed disastrously, but I like to think I've learned a thing or two along the way, and maybe some of that can help you. So if you'd like to learn how to tweak your pitch, subscribe to the Pick My Brain show now, wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
You know, I do pinch myself to think that, you know, we are where we are today. But in the same vein to what you mentioned, I believe we are just scratching the surface. You know, it's great that, you know, we're in the tens of millions of revenue and that we're helping, you know, millions of people. But the reality is that there are hundreds of millions of consumers around the world in collections at any point in time.
Welcome to FinTech Fun. FinTech Fun is a podcast where Australian fintechs come to share their stories. Hi, it's Chris Titley here as part of the FinTech Fund podcast, joined by Josh Foreman, founder and CEO of Indebted over the phone. Josh, thanks so much, mate, for being part of this series.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Let's talk Indebted, a business which is probably not mainstreamly well-known from a consumer point of view, but obviously well-known from a banking and industry point of view. Can you talk about the history of Indebted and how it started?
Yeah, definitely. So the business is about coming on 7 years old now. Was really founded from, this concept that I saw from a prior business, which was that sort of the traditional debt collection model was broken and broken on sort of multitude of fronts. But the three that really stood out was it was broken mainly and predominantly from a customer or consumer perspective. So the people, you know, sort of getting outreach from debt collectors were receiving a horrible experience that was not focusing on empathy or respect and not really one that was grounded from a perspective of trying to help people, you know, get back on track and then help them with their broader financial fitness. It certainly wasn't seen as a great place to work. No one really wanted to have that job title on their resume as a debt collector, and for the obvious reasons that would, you know, come to that from a consumer perspective, but also not really from a career growth perspective or ability to actually sort of help people. And then the third part also was on a sort of supplier side, or we look at it from a client perspective, in that debt collection was really a utility, and it's, you know, who could do sort of the best job for the cheapest price. And there wasn't really any focus on how you could do something different, and certainly not how maybe you could use technology and data to do it better. So that was sort of the crux of the idea that sort of originated everything and then led into the founding of the business today.
And Josh, do you remember that moment when you founded the business to go out on your own in regards to finding a company name, finding a product, and getting that first bit of iteration out there?
I do. Yeah, I do. So the name actually came pretty quickly and easily for this one, which was good. And when it sort of came out, I was like, yeah, this is definitely it. But the first sort of 6-7 months building the early prototype and getting the product together was, certainly an interesting journey. I think the part I remember most vividly was when, you know, someone actually paid their first debt, and I was like, okay, I can see how this is actually going to work and how this is going to scale. Obviously, there was a ton more work involved to actually make that happen, but no, they were interesting and fun times in the lounge room and coding and testing and selling, but it was obviously a necessary part to get us where we are today.
And Josh, as the business built out, what do you think was sort of the catalyst or the driving force? I mentioned, you know, customer service, I mentioned the process and technologies. There's lots of things that go into potentially paying off a debt. What do you think you did differently in those early days to get where you are now?
So I think the focus on technology was key. Like, I was obsessed from a product perspective on understanding sort of the service design of debt collection and like where it starts from a, you know, file being received from a bank and going through to actually, you know, recovering an account and all the steps in between, and really taking a look at that from a lens from a product perspective and thinking like, how would we be able to do this in a scalable way, but also in an intelligent way? And then I think that tied into the consumer piece. And very early on, and particularly probably in the first year or two, there was a lot of skepticism, particularly from our peers, on the fact that the reason people were, you know, were not really treated with dignity and respect in this industry was that that didn't get the results. And so for me, the focus on was that the results would come through the technology, the data, and the ability to be able to do things in a very sophisticated and scalable way. And that in doing so, that would actually take over the heavy lifting on the sort of, you know, the piece that comes to sort of how you treat the consumer. What I think probably I didn't expect was that we would be able to push that customer centricity piece so far that we'd end up in a point where, you know, consumers actually went out of their way to leave us positive reviews for a debt collection experience. That's pretty mind-bending, but it certainly was where it started from.
And from a consumer point of view, putting their hat on in regards to debt collecting, it sort of sounds a bit nasty initially, but then from that point of view in regards to not paying a particular debt, what are the outcomes that the consumer faces, I suppose, and what are you educating them around in regards to, you know, payment plans and the way that you do your business?
Yeah, so in terms of the, I guess, consequences or outcomes, they're predominantly driven by the client. So, you know, what the client is willing to do in terms of pushing that envelope. And obviously that'll also have a context on what sort of product it is. If we're talking about a secured product, like say, an auto loan versus say an unsecured product, like a buy now, pay later account and how that sort of everything in between that flows through. But the thing for us and what we sort of grounded our sort of values on was that we not only were we not going to sort of go down in threatening and intimidating behavior, but we also were not going to have a legal function. We were not going to sue people. We weren't going to bankrupt consumers. Like that just was not something that we would ever see as part of our proposition. And so that would sort of sit with our clients. I think what we've learned from the data is that the vast majority of people do want to pay these accounts and get them back on track. So that's really where we put our efforts in. We're not naive to the fact that there are people who may want to game the system and try and do that. But we just think that putting all of our, you know, really smart people in our business to focus on the 1% doesn't really make sense. What we really want to do is focus on how we make it as easy as possible for the majority of the people who do want to get back on track. So we give them insights around obviously financial literacy. We give them, you know, obviously easy tooling to be able to go and sort of have these, conversations and deal with these accounts. But the vast majority of what people want is to not have a conversation on the account and actually be able to self-serve their way through to a solution that's works for them, be it on a payment plan or paying that account in full. And that's really where we focus our efforts from a technology perspective and really removing the barriers for someone to feel like they can have a conversation or at least engage about this topic. And that goes into a lot of the science that we do, particularly on the behavioral analytical side around how to best engage with a consumer to have this very sort of sensitive and difficult conversation.
Yeah, I'd imagine the psychology behind it, as you mentioned, is critically important because if you do get a call or someone representing saying you owe money, people automatically might think, A, firstly, is it a scam? Or secondly, B, yes, I do owe that money, but I just don't want to deal with that.
Yeah, exactly right. And so, you know, I remember early on, you're spending a ton of time on our website around thinking from a sales perspective. So how do I get more clients? You know, how do we get more people wanting to use the indebted service? The reality is, and still is the case today, that over 90% of all of our web traffic is consumers who have received some form of message from us trying to vet, you know, are we real? And so one of the very early things that we did was, and we still do this today, our website is predominantly focused on the consumer. Yes, we have some content that's there for obviously careers and looking for, you know, to work at Indebted and also for our clients. But the majority of the content and majority of everything that's there is built around the consumer. And we also extended that in terms of when we started focusing on reviews and feedback. So to your point, you know, people will get a text message or an email or something from us and say, hey, who is Indebted? We do what everyone does, which is jump on Google, type that in. The first thing we want people to see is, you know, nearly 2,000 five-star reviews. That's going to build confidence to go and read those reviews and see that other people like them have been able to have conversations about this stuff and get a result, and then jump on a website that's built and tailored for them, and then have a portal and tooling that again is centered around them and putting the best offers forward to helping them resolve that account.
And Josh, we're sitting here in mid-August 2022. We'll take a snapshot of Indebted as a business as it stands today. Can you give some high-level metrics around the business itself?
Yeah, definitely. So we're about 250 people in the team globally. We're a remote first and globally distributed business. So we've got a good chunk of the team in Australia. We've got another bigger chunk in the United States now. But we have people in Canada. We have people throughout Europe. or throughout Asia. We hire, you know, basically everywhere, wherever the best talent in the world is, and we are focused on having that sort of remote and distributed, though we do get together consistently, and we have some offices around the world as well. So that's on the team side. You know, in terms of the sort of scale of the business, we're supporting actively over 1 million consumers around the world, engaging or paying accounts with Indebted, billions of dollars of accounts within our platform. We operate in 5 markets around the world: Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the US, and the UK. And from a sort of scale and a revenue perspective, you know, we've grown the business over 100% year over year. Our compounding growth rate for the last sort of 4 or 5 years has been about 150%. We're in the tens of millions of revenue now. And yeah, we're very much on track and doing what we need to do. Obviously, always challenges, you know, whichever side it comes from. But, you know, we've got a phenomenal team and a really sort of solid vision about what we want to do, and we're executing towards that.
And Josh, going back to when you first started the business, did you think the business was in a position today where you pinched yourself, or you think, oh, this is just the beginning of where we can actually take the business?
It's both. I never would have in a million years imagined we would have got here in multitudes of different ways. I think there's that naivety that a young founder has and just says, hey, well, I'm just going to run towards something and see how it works. And you know, I do pinch myself to think that, you know, we are where we are today. But in the same vein to what you mentioned, I believe we are just scratching the surface. You know, it's great that, you know, we're in the tens of millions of revenue and that we're helping, you know, millions of people. But the reality is that there are hundreds of millions of consumers around the world in collections at any point in time. It's nearly 80 million people in the US in collections at any given point. There is, you know, giant incumbent agencies and businesses in our industry that are still, you know, major players. And the reality is they're running on these antiquated processes and approach that I just don't think will scale. And I'm really excited for the businesses that are coming through in the future. You know, when I look at industries, particularly fintech as a whole, you know, when we started, it was very, very early days. You know, I think if you think about buy now, pay later companies in Australia at the time, we're talking about early businesses that are just listed on the ASX. You know, fast forward to today, you know, we're talking about multi-billion dollar exits from, you know, giant technology companies, hundreds of millions of users. It's a pretty amazing thing to watch that happen. And those businesses need something very different than the businesses in the past. And I think, you know, they're obsessed on the customer piece, and that's something that aligns really well with what we do. But also there's a focus on running global businesses. And collections as a whole has always been a regional business because of the complexities and also because of the compliance and the licensing piece. We've been able to sort of be the first to actually sort of turn that on its head, and we put compliance into code, and we focus on how we automate those processes. And so what we're able to provide our clients is a solution that works irrespective of geography. And I think that if I think about the sort of finance businesses that are going to emerge in the next 10 years, I think they're inherently global by default, and they're going to need something that's very different than sort of what, you know, the traditional banks may have needed sort of 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago. And I think that just aligns perfectly with where we're going as a business.
And Josh, when you're not talking about collections and coding and legislations on multiple different countries, how do you switch off? Do you get to switch off? Do you feel like you switch off, or is everything kind of merged into one in terms of your life?
I think I could do a better job on switching off, and I'm sure most people close to me would say that. I think I, like, Indebted is obviously my, you know, the number one focus for me when it comes to you know, my business side of things. But like entrepreneurism and investing and businesses in general is just something I'm passionate about. And so, you know, whether it's this or other smaller businesses, angel investing and other things that I do and helping other founders, like that is a huge part of, you know, what I just generally enjoy doing. I'm one of those weird people that likes reading business plans and P&Ls and balance sheets and just understanding the mechanics of how a business operates and then ultimately how it scales. And when you get to witness, you know, really big scalable businesses that have made it that far, it's pretty amazing and sort of eye-opening to witness. So that's a big thing. And then outside of that, you know, sort of fitness and health is the other part. I think, like, in order to operate at the demands that sort of startups and scale-ups require, I think you've got to be, you know, in the right headspace, both physically and mentally. And I think that's a big part. And so for me, it's, you know, whether it's hiking, running, going to the gym, playing sports, like those are the other things that probably take up the vast majority of my week if I'm not in front of a computer looking at something related to Indebted.
And what's your choice of exercise? What do you like doing the most in terms of exercise?
It's varied over the years. So I would say the big one these days is probably boxing, which I got into about 3 years ago and sort of got pretty immensely hooked on that. both I guess watching side of things, but also participating. But you know, I think for the last decade, it's been running, gym, some sort of something sort of tied to that. But I think if I had to pick one today, that's sort of certainly captured my attention over the last sort of 3 to 4 years, it's without question it's boxing.
And if I were to come down to Sydney and we'd go grab a bite together, what would be your favourite favourite feed, mate?
Ooh, I'm definitely a steak guy. definitely hard to pass up a good steak. But otherwise, I'd say favourite cuisine, Mexican, without question.
Ah, right. Yes, a little little burrito or a little or not.
Yeah, well, definitely, absolutely. Well, like Mexico in Sydney is a great restaurant, so that'd probably be my first port of call, I'd say.
Well, there you go. They might just get a tag in this podcast. Josh, mate, thanks so much for telling the indebted story from the early days, the idea that you had, the concept, and to where you are now. Congratulations on your achievements thus far. But as you mentioned in the podcast, you feel like this is just the beginning, and I really look forward to catching up on your growth geographically as well as from your team members' point of view, and I wish you all the best.
No, I appreciate it, Chris. And yeah, thank you. And I really enjoyed being on the podcast.
For more information on Sub11, jump onto our LinkedIn or email me, chris@sub11.com.au. Thanks for listening.
Listen to the Unfunded podcast brought to you by the Day One Network and hosted by me, tech writer Joan Westenberg. We're sharing the no-holds-barred, untold stories from entrepreneurs who have decided to build a business on their terms. I'll be interviewing successful founders and operators on the grit and ingenuity it takes to build and scale independent startups without the support of traditional venture capital funding. Subscribe to the Unfunded podcast now, wherever you get your podcasts.